5 minutes to air, Mr. Lawrence, Miss Applewhite, Mr. Ireland, Ms. Divine, Mr. Haywood, Miss Sherwood, Mr. Svensson, Mr. Fillmore. This is your 5 minute call. 5 minutes to air.
Good evening. I'm Jeff Reynolds. KVNF has a very special holiday treat for you tonight, an old-time radio play performed by Paonia Players at the Paradise Theater in Paonia. The show is It's a Wonderful Life, a live radio play by Joe Landry. The cast features Logan Woods Darby as George Bailey, Erica Oakes as Mary Hatch Bailey, and KVNF's own big business mogul Felix Belmont as Mr. Potter. The stage setting is a radio studio in New York City in the late 40s, where a cast of radio players is presenting It's a Wonderful Life live on the air with a studio audience. We hope you enjoy the show.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another live broadcast of WBFR's Playhouse of the Air. I'd like to thank each and every one of you for braving the weather this Christmas Eve, and you'll be glad that you did when you see the performance that we have in store for you. It's a Wonderful Life. Thank you. Now remember, ladies and gentlemen, this is a live broadcast, so our program is going out live from coast to coast. So our at-home audience is going to need a little participation from you, so feel free to laugh, cry, swoon, or applaud just as loudly as you can. Also, if you do have one of those newfangled noisemakers in your pocket, please turn them off. Okay, I'm getting the 3 minute warning from my stage manager right now, so that means we're gonna be going live in less than 3 minutes, which gives me just enough time to introduce to you folks the fine acting ensemble that we've put together for tonight's program. You know him from Chick Carter, Boy Detective, and Cowpoke Romance. Playing George Bailey, the hero of tonight's story, Mr. Jake Lawrence. Having just returned from Los Angeles after completing the film Dottie Goes Bananas, a Technicolor spectacle, as his leading lady Mary Hatch, we bring you Miss Sally Applewhite. And coming out of retirement from his years as a vaudeville star turned silent film legend, he's most well known for his role in The Singing Unicyclist, and playing the villain tonight, it's the one, the only, Mr. Felix Ireland. She was crowned Miss Peoria, 1916, Miss Illinois, 1917, and went on to place 46th in the Miss American pageant of 1918. Having starred in the 1922 blockbuster film Venus at the Mirror and playing Ma Bailey, Zuzu, and others, it's Miss Trixie Devine. Soon to be seen co-starring with Margaret Dumont in Paramount Pictures, the new comedy The Hick Chick, and playing Clarence the Angel and others in this evening's show, here he is, Mr. Harry Jasbo Haywood! WBFR Playhouse of the Air listeners have heard our next little lady in roles ranging from Mother Cabrini to Salome. And playing small-town siren Violet Bick and others tonight, I give you Miss Lana Sherwood. Fresh from his tour with the USO, having performed his one-man show, Dr. Twinkle Toes, the tap-dancing podiatrist, put your hands together for Mr. Anders Svensson. And let's not forget WBFR's handy sound technician, whose credentials include sound engineering for the film The Passion of Joan of Arc. Let's give a warm welcome to Mr. Skip Wiederman. And of course, WBFR's house musician and tickling the ivories tonight and every night, Crazy Dave Snidegrass. And finally, host of WBFR's Playhouse of the Air and here with you every week on Females Are Fabulous, I'm Freddie Fillmore. Okay, I'm getting the signal from my stage manager, and that means we're going live on the air in about 20 seconds. So thank you folks all for coming this evening, and enjoy the broadcast.
We are live in 5, 4, 3.
This is WBFR's Playhouse of the Air. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Greetings from WBFR Studio A in Manhattan, New York, U.S. of A. I'm your host, Freddie Fillmore, and it's my pleasure to bring you your favorite stories this and every week on WBFR's Playhouse of the Air. Tonight we bring you a real feel-good heartwarmer, perfect for any Christmas Eve. It's A Wonderful Life. We begin our story in a little town of Bedford Falls, New York, U.S. of A., where a number of people in the town are praying for a dear friend, a typical American dreamer named George Bailey.
Dear God, please look over my husband, George.
George is a good boy. You know that. My son has always gone out of his way to give others a hand. Now it's him that needs the help.
Help my big brother, George. He's done so much for all of us. More for me than I can remember.
I remember all the times he would stay late after work and not ask a cent. The world needs more like George Bailey.
Ah, George Bailey never thinks about himself. I wouldn't have a roof over my head if it wasn't for him.
If it wasn't for him, I would have given up long ago. All I think about is myself. I must have taken the last cent he had.
He had no sense of business, that George Bailey. Just like his father. None of the Baileys were ever businessmen. It's his own fault if he wasn't prepared for times like these.
At times like these, I can't help but think it was all my fault. Help him, Father. It's me who's putting him through all this.
Something's the matter with Daddy.
Should we pray for him, Mommy?
Yes, Zuzu. Pray. Pray very hard. Dear God,
the voices carry heavenward, and Joseph, the superintendent of angels, summons Clarence, an apprentice angel.
You sent for me, sir?
Yes, Clarence. A man down on earth needs our help.
Oh, splendid. Is he sick?
No worse. He's discouraged. Oh. At exactly 10:45 p.m. tonight, Earth time, this man is thinking seriously of throwing away God's greatest gift.
Oh, dear, his life? Oh. Then I've only an hour to dress. What are they wearing these days?
You will spend that hour getting acquainted with George Bailey.
Sir, if I should accomplish this mission, I mean, might I perhaps win my wings? I've been waiting over 200 years now, and people are beginning to talk.
What's that book you've got there?
Oh, this, Adventures of Tom Sawyer. I was reading it when you called for me.
Oh, fine book. Excellent. Well, if you do a good job with George Bailey, we'll see about your wings.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Now, if you're going to help George, you'll want to know a little something about him. Look, see the town?
Why, yes. A group of young boys sledding down a snow-covered hill onto the ice. Oh, this is amazing.
Yippee!
Who's that?
Why, that's your problem, George Bailey.
A boy?
Yes, that's him when he was 12, back in 1919. Now, something happens here, and you'll have to remember it later on.
And here comes the scare baby, my kid brother Harry Bailey.
I'm not scared.
Oh, come on, Harry. Atta boy. You can go.
Yippee!
Oh, help! Help! Help!
Oh, dear. Harry's fallen through the ice.
I'm coming, Harry. Make a chain, gang. A chain.
So, his brother fell through the ice, but George saved him.
Yes, Clarence, and ever since, George has had a bad ear. All that icy water, you understand.
Bad ear, yes, sir.
And the other event came a few months later. George took an after-school job at Old Man Gower's drugstore.
It's me, Mr. Gower. George Bailey.
You're late.
Yes, sir.
Hello, George. Hello, Mary. Hello, Violet.
2 cents worth of shoelaces, Violet?
Mary was here first. I'm still thinking.
The shoelaces?
Please, Georgie. I like him.
You like every boy.
What's wrong with that?
Here you are.
Bye, Georgie. See you later, Mary.
Oh, you made up your mind yet, Mary?
I'll take chocolate.
With coconuts?
I don't like coconuts.
You don't like coconuts? Say, brainless, don't you know where coconuts come from? Looky here, from Tahiti, the Fiji Islands, the Coral Sea.
What's that you've got there? A new magazine? I never saw it before.
Of course you never. Only us explorers can get it. I've been nominated for membership in the National Geographic Society. Well, let me get your ice cream.
Is this the ear you can't hear on? George Bailey, I'll love you till the day I die.
I'm going out exploring someday. You watch. And I'm going to have a couple of harems and maybe 3 or 4 wives. Wait, you see.
George! George!
Yes, sir?
You're not paid to be a canary.
Oh, yes, sir.
Goodbye, George.
Goodbye, Mary.
What was that piece of paper George just picked up?
It's a telegram from Mr. Gower. He found out this morning that his son died from influenza.
Oh, that's awful.
Yes, yes, and he's spent the afternoon drowning his grief in whiskey.
Mr. Gower, do you want something? Anything?
No.
Anything I can do back here?
No.
Oh, I'll get him, sir. What's this bottle, Mr. Gower?
Never mind that. Take those capsules over to Mrs. Blaine's.
Yes, sir. They have the diphtheria there, haven't they, sir? Is it a charge, sir?
Yes, charge.
Mr. Gower, I think that...
Oh, get going.
Yes, sir. Mr. Gower...
What is it?
Mr. Gower, that bottle you used, you put something wrong in those capsules.
Who do you think you're talking to?
Oh, you're hurting my sore ear.
Did you hear what I said? Get going.
Mr. Gower, you don't know what you're doing. You put... Ow! There's something wrong in those capsules. I know you're unhappy. You got that telegram and you're upset. It wasn't your fault, Mr. Gower. But look, Mr. Gower, look. This bottle you used, this bottle to make up the capsules, it's poison.
Poison?
Don't hit my sore ear again.
Poison? Oh, George. George.
All I wanted was to make sure, Mr. Gower. I won't tell anyone. I know what you're feeling. I won't ever tell a soul. I hope to die, I won't.
Oh, George.
Did he ever tell anyone about those pills?
Not a soul.
Did he ever marry the girl? Did he ever go exploring?
We'll get to that soon enough, Clarence. When George Bailey grew up, he wanted to go to college, but there just wasn't the money. So he worked for 4 years in the Building and Loan Association.
Building and Loan Association?
Yes, George's father was in the building and loan business, along with George's Uncle Billy.
George, what's the combination to the safe?
Well, we wrote it down so you wouldn't forget it.
That's right. Where?
Your wallet, Uncle Billy.
Thanks.
Lovable fellow, just forgetful is all.
Who's that?
Why, that's Henry F. Potter, the richest and meanest man in all of the county.
Peter, Potter's here.
Mr. Bailey. There's nothing quite so loathsome as a family business. Now, Peter, you know why I'm here. I'm on a very tight schedule. A family to evict at 3.
Okay, then, Mr. Potter. Here's the thing. I just need a little more time. Just 30 short days. I'll dig up that 5,000 somehow.
Have you put any real pressure on those people of yours to pay their mortgages?
Times are hard, Mr. Potter. A lot of people are out of work.
Then foreclose.
I can't do that. These families have children.
They're not my children.
But they're somebody's children, Mr. Potter.
Are you running a business or a charity ward?
Well, all right.
Not with my money.
Mr. Potter, what makes you such a hard-skulled character? You have no family, no children. You can't begin to spend all the money you've got.
So I suppose I should give it to miserable failures like you and that idiot brother of yours to spend for me.
He's not a failure. You can't say that about my father.
George.
You're not. You're the biggest man in town.
All right, son. Thanks. I'll talk to you tonight.
Well, don't let him say that about you, Pop.
Tonight.
What kind of business are you running here? Good God, man.
George worked for his father, saving enough to see him through the university. That summer, though, he was going to Europe. George got a job on a cattle boat and was ready to do a little traveling before college. Old man Gower surprised him with a gift of a great big suitcase. And on his way home from the store, he ran into his friend, Ernie the cop, and Bert the cab driver.
Oh, hey, Ernie.
Hey, George.
Oh, hi, Bert.
Hey, George. Hey, what's a suitcase for?
Oh, I'm a rich tourist today. How about driving me home in style?
Sure, Your Highness. Hops in a cab, and for the carriage trade, I puts on my hat.
Good afternoon, Mr. Bailey. Looks like you're getting ready to get out of here.
Oh, hello, Violet. Hey, you look good. That's some dress you got on there.
Oh, this old thing? Why, I only wear it when I don't care how I look. See you later.
How would you like to...
Yes.
Hey, want to come along, Bite? We'll show you the town.
No, thanks. I think I'll go home and see what the wife is up to.
Oh, family man.
George saved up money to go away to college. His bags were packed and he was all set to go.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy. It's hard to realize it's the last night in the Bailey boarding house.
We're sure going to miss you, George.
Oh, I'm going to miss you too, Pop. What's the matter? You look tired.
Oh, I had another tussle with old Henry Potter today.
Oh.
I thought when we put him on the board of directors, he'd ease up on us.
I wonder what's eating that old money-grubbing buzzard anyway.
Oh, he's a sick man, frustrated and sick. Sick in his mind, sick in his soul, if he has one. Hates everybody that has anything he can't have. Hates us mostly, I guess.
Hey, George, can I borrow your tuxedo studs?
Oh, yeah, help yourself, Harry.
Well, where are they? In your suitcase?
I'm not taking a tuxedo on a cattle boat, you know.
Hey, say, where'd you get this piece of luggage anyway?
Oh, it was Mr. Gower, a going-away present. And one of these days you're going to see that bag all covered with travel labels. Italy and Baghdad.
Hey, why don't you come to the dance tonight?
What, and be bored to death?
Well, you couldn't want a better death. Lots of pretty girls. Hey, all right, I got to go. I'm in a hurry.
I wish we could send Henry to college with you, George.
Oh, we have that all figured out. You see, Harry will take my job at the building and loan, work there 4 years, and then he'll go.
He's pretty young for that job.
Oh, well, no younger than I was.
You were born older, George. I suppose you've decided what you're going to do when you get out of college?
Oh, well, you know, what I've always talked about, building things. Design new buildings, plan modern cities.
Still after that first million before you're 30.
Oh, no, I'll settle for half that in cash.
Of course, it's just a hope, but you wouldn't consider coming back to the building and loan, would you? I know it's early to talk about it.
Oh, I couldn't face being cooped up for the rest of my life in that shabby little office. I'm sorry, Papa. I didn't mean that remark. But this business of nickels and dimes and spending all your life trying to figure out how to save 3 cents on a length of pipe, I'd go crazy. I want to do something big and something important.
You know, George, I feel that in a small way we are doing something important. Satisfying a fundamental urge. It's not too much for a man to want his own roof and walls and fireplace. And we're helping him get those things from our shabby little office.
I know, Dad. I wish that I felt... But I've been hoarding pennies like a miser in order to... Well, most of my friends have already finished college. I just feel like if I don't get away, I'd bust.
Yes, yes, you're right, boy. This town's no place to live if you aren't willing to crawl to Potter. You get yourself an education, then get out of here.
Oh, I'm glad you see what I'm talking about. Say, I think I'm gonna go down on old Main Street, last night in town and all.
Have a good time, son.
Who's that?
Why, that's Violet Bick.
The little girl from the candy counter?
That's right.
Hello, Georgie Porgy.
Well, hello, Vi.
What gives?
Oh, nothing.
Where are you going?
Oh, I'll probably end up at the library.
Georgie, don't you ever get tired of just reading about things?
Well, yes. What are you doing tonight?
Not a thing.
Well, are you game, Vi? What do you say we make a night of it?
Oh, I'd love it, Georgie. What'll we do?
Well, let's go out in the fields and we'll take off our shoes and walk in the grass.
Huh?
Well, then we can go up to Stewart Lake. It's beautiful up there in the moonlight, and we can swim. And then we can climb Mount Bedford and smell the pines and watch the sunrise against the peaks. And we'll stay up there the whole night, and everybody will be talking, and there'll be a terrific scandal.
George, have you gone crazy? Walk in the grass in my bare feet? Why, it's 10 miles up there to Mount Bedford. You think just because you...
Okay, we'll just forget about the whole thing.
Forget about what, George?
Oh, nothing, Sam.
You remember Mary, don't you, George?
Hi, George.
Hi, Mary.
Say, George, you wouldn't mind walking Mary home, would you?
Oh, of course not. Is that okay with you, Mary?
Fine by me.
Thanks. Great. Yee-haw! So, George walked Mary home. Is that important, Joseph?
Well, I'd say it is, because even though Mary lived only 4 blocks away, it took them 2 hours to get there.
Buffalo gals, won't you come out tonight? Come out tonight, come out tonight. Buffalo gals, won't you come out tonight? And dance by the light of the moon.
Oh, hot dog! Oh, boy!
Beautiful!
Oh, it's just like an organ. Gee whiz. You know something? Oh, if it wasn't me talking, I would say you were the prettiest girl in town.
Well, why don't you say it?
Well, I don't know. Maybe I will. Well, how old are you anyway?
18.
Oh, 18.
Too young or too old?
Oh, no. Just right. Your age fits you. Well, hey, look where we are.
Oh, the old Granville house.
Yeah, I gotta throw a rock.
Oh, no, don't. I love that old house.
Well, no. Don't you know about deserted houses? You make a wish and then throw a rock.
But, George, it's such a lovely old place. I wish I lived there.
In there? I wouldn't live there if I was a ghost. Now watch. Watch this. Oh, how about it, huh? A pretty good shot, huh? Broke a window, huh?
What's your wish, George?
Oh, well, not just one wish. A whole hatful, Mary. I'm shaking the dust of this crummy little town off of my feet, and I'm going to see the world. Italy and Greece, the Parthenon, and Colosseum. Well, then I'm coming back here and go to college and see what they know. And then I'm going to build things. I'm going to build airfields. I'm going to build skyscrapers 100 stories high. I'm going to build bridges a mile long. And then I'm going to... Hey, are you going to throw a rock too? Oh, hey... Well, that's pretty good. Hey, what'd you wish for, Mary?
Oh, no. If I tell you, it may not come true.
Oh, hey. Hey, Mary, now, come on, what do you want, huh? Do you want the moon? All you gotta do is just say the word now.
Okay, the moon. I'll take it. And then what?
Well, then what? Well, I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down. Then you can swallow it and it'll all dissolve, see? Well, then the moonbeams will shoot out of your fingers and out of your toes and the ends of your hair. And am I talking too much?
Yes. Why don't you kiss her instead of talking her to death?
Oh, who is that?
Old man Collins on his front porch.
Our youth is wasted on the wrong people.
Oh, hey. Hey, hold on. Hey, mister, come back out here and I'll show you some kissing, then I'll put hair back on your head.
You come back out here and I'll show you exactly.
George! George!
Uncle Billy!
George, get in the car, quick! Your father's had a stroke!
Oh, I'm sorry. I've got to go, Mary.
George's father died that night, Clarence, so of course George couldn't go to Europe. But that fall, just as he was ready to leave for college, the directors of the building and loan held a meeting. They were going to appoint a successor.
I want the board to know that George gave up his trip to Europe to help straighten things out here these past few months, and it was greatly appreciated. I think that's all we'll need you for, George. Good luck to you at school. I know you're anxious to make a train.
Yes, I have a taxi waiting downstairs.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes,
sir. I'd like to get to my real purpose. I claim this institution is not necessary to this town.
Necessary.
Therefore, Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to dissolve the building and loan and turn its assets and liabilities over to the receiver.
No, it's too soon after Peter Bailey's death to discuss chloroforming the building and loan. It was his faith and devotion that are responsible for this organization.
I'll go further than that. I'll say that to the public. Peter Bailey was the building and loan.
Oh, that's fine, Potter, coming from you, considering that you probably drove him to his grave.
Peter Bailey was not a businessman. That's what killed him. Oh, I don't mean any disrespect to him. God rest his soul. He was a man of high ideals, so-called. But ideals without common sense can ruin this town. What does that get us? A discontented, lazy rabble instead of a thrifty working class. And all because a few starry-eyed dreamers like Peter Bailey stir them up and fill their heads with a lot of impossible hooey. Now, I say...
Just a minute. Now, hold on, Mr. Potter. You're right when you say my father was no businessman. I know that. Why he ever started this cheap penny-ante building and loan, I'll never know. But neither you nor anybody else can say anything against his character, because his whole life was... Well, why in the 25 years since he and Uncle Billy started this thing? Well, he never once thought of himself. Isn't that right, Uncle Billy?
You got that right.
Well, he didn't save enough money to send Harry to school, let alone me. But he did help a few people get out of your slums, Mr. Potter. And what's wrong with that? Why, well, here you're all businessmen here. Doesn't it make them better citizens? Doesn't it make them better customers? You said, what did you say a minute ago? They had to wait and save their money before they even ought to think of a decent home. Well, wait. Wait for what? Until their children grow up and leave them? Until they're so old and broken down that they... Do you know how long it takes a working man to save $5,000? Just remember this, Mr. Potter. This rabble you're talking about. Well, they do most of the working and paying and living and dying in this community.
That's right.
Well, is it too much to have them work and pay and live and die in a couple of decent rooms and a bath? Anyway, my father didn't think so. People are human beings to him, but to you, a warped, frustrated old man, they're cattle. Oh, in my book, he died a much richer man than you'll ever be.
I'm not interested in your book. I'm talking about the building and loan.
Oh, I know very well what you're talking about. You're talking about something you can't get your fingers on, and that's gulling you. That's what you're talking about. Oh, well, I've said too much. You're the board here. You do what you want with this thing. Just one more thing, though. This town needs this measly one-horse institution, if only to have some place where people can come without crawling to Potter. Oh, come on, Uncle Billy.
Sentimental hogwash. I want my motion.
I'll have to call you back. They're just coming out of the meeting. George, what happened in there? All we heard was a lot of yelling.
Boy, oh boy, Matilda, you should have heard George.
Oh, yeah, well, they're voting us down in there.
George, get out of here. You missed your boat trip. Do you want to miss college, too? Don't worry about the board. They're only putting us out of business. So what? I can get another job. I'm only 55.
You're 58.
George, they voted Potter down. We're still in business.
Whoopee, we're still in business.
But there's one condition, George. They've appointed you to take your father's place.
Appointed me? But I'm going to college. Uncle Billy here, here's your man.
No, you can keep him on, that's all right, but it has to be you.
Well, now, let's get this thing straight. I'm leaving right now. I'm going to school, this is my last chance.
But George, You've got to take it. They'll vote with Potter otherwise. So, George Bailey didn't go to college.
That's right, Clarence. He gave his college money to his brother Harry, and Harry went instead.
But what happened to that good-looking girl, you know, Mary?
Oh, George saw her now and then, but not very often, though, because Mary went away to school, too. Anyway, George waited for 4 years for Harry to come back and take over the building and loan.
Oh, well, there she blows. Say, Uncle Billy, you know what the three most wonderful sounds on earth are?
Breakfast is served. Lunch is served.
Oh, no, no.
Dinner is
no,
served.
No, no. Anchor chains, plane motors, and train whistles. Well, here's the professor now.
Well, if it isn't geographic explorer George Bailey. Uncle Billy, you haven't changed a bit.
Nobody ever changes around here, Harry. You know that.
Oh, am I glad to see you.
Hey, say, where's Mother?
Oh, she's home cooking the fatted calf. Come on, let's go.
Oh, wait. This is Ruth Dakin.
Ruth Dakin Bailey, if you don't mind.
Huh?
Well, I wired you had a surprise. Here she is. Meet the wife.
Well, what do you know? Wife!
Well, how do you do? What am I doing? Congratulations! Well, congratulations! Harry, why didn't you tell somebody? Hey, what's a pretty girl like you doing marrying this two-headed brother of mine?
Well, I'll tell you. It's purely mercenary. My father offered him a job.
Oh, he gets you and a job? Harry's cup runneth over. Come on, Ruth. Let's start ahead and leave these bags for the fellas.
All right.
George, about that job. Ruth spoke out of turn. I never said I'd take it. You've been holding the bag here for 4 years, and I won't let you down, George.
Oh, it's all right, Harry. It's all right.
And that night, the homecoming for Harry became his wedding party. Uncle Billy familiarized himself with the spirits.
Oh, boy. I feel so good I could spit in Potter's eye. I think I will. What do you say? Maybe I should go home. If you just point me in the right direction.
It's right down there.
That way, huh? Okay, old Billy and Lone Pal. See you later. I'm all right.
George!
Yeah, I'm out here on the porch, Mother. I just thought I would get some air.
Well, how do you like your new sister-in-law?
Oh, well, she's swell.
Looks like she'll keep Harry on his toes.
Yeah, keep him out of Bedford Falls, anyway.
George, do you know that Mary Hatch is back from school?
Yeah.
Nice girl, Mary.
Uh-huh.
Oh, stop your grumbling. Give me one good reason you shouldn't call on Mary.
Oh, well, Sam Wainwright. Sam's crazy about her.
Well, she's not crazy about him.
Well, now, how do you know that? Did she discuss it with you?
Besides, Sam is away in New York, and you're here in Bedford Falls.
Oh, and all's fair in love and war?
Well, I don't know about war.
Oh, all right, Mother. I think I'll go out and find the girl and do a little passionate necking.
Oh, George!
Oh, bye, Mrs. Bailey. Say, by the way, do you want any books at the library?
The library? George, you go and see Mary. You hear?
Hello, George.
Hello, Mary. I just happened to be passing by.
Your mother just phoned and said you were on your way over to pay me a visit.
Oh, my mother just called you? Well, how did she know?
Well,
I didn't tell anybody. I just went for a walk and happened to be passing by. Well, what do you... I went for a walk, that's all. Well, when did you get back?
Tuesday. Would you like to come in?
Well, I guess, since I'm here. Oh, say, where'd you get that dress?
Do you like it?
Oh, it's all right. I thought you'd go back to New York with Sam and Francie and the rest of them.
Oh, I worked there a couple of vacations. But I don't know. I guess I was homesick.
Homesick for Bedford Falls?
Yes, and my family and you. Oh, everything. Would you like to sit down?
Oh, all right, for a minute. I still can't understand it, though. You know, I didn't tell anybody I was coming here.
Would you rather leave?
Oh, no, I don't want to be rude.
It was nice about Harry and Ruth, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's all right.
Don't you like her?
Oh, well, of course I like her. She's a peach.
Oh. It's just marriage in general you're not enthusiastic about, huh?
Oh, no. Marriage is okay for Harry and Sam Wainwright and you.
Mary, who's out there with you?
It's George Bailey, Mother.
George Bailey? What does he want?
I don't know. What do you want, George?
Me? Oh, not a thing. I just came in to get warm.
He's making violent love to me, Mother.
You tell him to go right back home, and don't you leave the house. Sam Wainwright promised to call from New York tonight, didn't he?
Oh, your mother needn't. You know, I didn't come here for... to...
What did you come here for?
Well, I don't know. Well, you tell me. You're supposed to be the one who has all the answers. Oh, you tell me.
Oh, why don't you go home?
Well, that's where I'm going. I don't know why I came here in the first place.
Mary! The telephone! It's Sam!
I'll get it. Hee-haw! Hello, Sam. How are you?
Oh, great. Gee, it's good to hear your voice again.
Oh, well, that's awfully sweet of you, Sam. There's an old friend of yours here, George Bailey.
You mean old Mossback George?
Yes, old Mossback George.
Well, hee-haw! Put him on!
Wait a minute. I'll call him. George!
Doesn't want to speak to George, you idiot!
He does so. He asked for him. George! Sam wants to speak to you.
Hello, Sam.
Well, hey, fine pal you are. What are you trying to do? Steal my girl?
Well, what do you mean? Nobody's trying to steal your girl.
No, wait a minute. I want to talk to both of you. Tell Mary to get on the extension.
Mother's on the extension. We can both hear you. George, just put your head a little closer.
Okay.
There, that's better. We're listening, Sam.
All right. I have a big deal coming up that's going to make us all rich, George. George, you remember that night at Martini's Bar when you told me about making plastics out of soybeans?
Soybeans.
Well, my father's checked into it, George. See, and now he's going to build a factory outside of Rochester. How do you like that?
Well, Rochester. Oh, well, why Rochester?
Well, why not? Can you think of anything better?
Well, I don't know. Well, why not right here in Bedford Falls? You remember that old tool and machinery works. You tell your father he can get that for a song, and all the labor he wants, too. Well, half the town was thrown out of work when they closed down.
That's so. Well, I'll tell him. Hey, that sounds great. Oh, baby, I knew you'd come through. Now, here's the point, George. I may have a job for you. That is, unless you're still married to that old broken-down building and loan. Oh, Mary.
I'm here.
You tell that guy I'm giving him the chance of a lifetime. You hear?
He says it's a chance of a lifetime.
Well, give me that phone. Now, you listen to me, Mary. I don't want any plastics, and I don't want any job. I don't want to get married, ever, to anyone. You understand that? She said, I want to do what I want to do. And you're not... Mary, you're not going... Oh, Mary.
Oh, George.
Oh. Mary, Mary, I love you.
Oh, George. I love you, too.
Return to WBFR Playhouse of the Air's presentation of It's a Wonderful Life in just a few moments. But first, gentlemen, does your hair resemble a dried-out bird's nest full of dandruff flakes?
Do you plaster your hair down like a cheap gigolo, smelling to high heaven?
Hey, you! What a stink!
When girls get a gander at the tip top of your noggin, do they go,
ew!
Well, here's a friendly hint that may just help you out in the romance department. Starting tomorrow, why not try Bremel Hair Tonic? Yes, sirree, you'll be heading for success with Bremel groomed hair, a success with the gals and on the job. Bremel always keeps your hair looking mighty attractive, always in place, and a real sex appealer.
Wow.
Bremel Hair Tonic does lots more than keep your hair handsome looking.
Bremel, the swank hair tonic, makes your filthy bird's nest gleam. A little dab will do ya, all the pretty gals will scream. Not only will dames love it, your barber will shout out with glee. Bremel, the swank hair tonic, your dandruff will be
some Bremel today, your hair will thank you. And now back to It's a Wonderful Life. George and Mary were married, and following the wedding reception, George's old pal Ernie, the cab driver, drove the happy couple to the train station.
Hey, where you two going on this here now, honeymoon?
Oh, we're gonna shoot the works, Ernie. A whole week in New York, a whole week in Bermuda, the highest hotels, the oldest champagne, the richest caviar, the hottest music, and the prettiest wife.
Here's the kitty, Ernie. $2,000. I feel like a bootlegger's wife.
So you're finally getting out of Bedford Falls, huh? Then what?
Well, then what, honey?
After that, who cares?
Well, that does it. Hi, Mrs. Bailey, I haven't kissed you since...
Hey, George, there's something funny going on over there. Look, over at the bank. It looks like a run.
Pull over there a minute, will you, Ernie?
George, let's not stop. Please, let's go straight to the station.
Well, now, wait a minute. I better see what it is. I'll be right back.
George, please. George!
What is this, Uncle Billy, a holiday? Why are the doors locked? There's a crowd out front.
This is a pickle, George.
All right, now what happened?
All I know is the bank called our loan, and I had to hand out all our cash.
All of it?
Every last cent of it.
Holy mackerel.
And then I got scared, George, and I closed the doors.
Well, our charter says we need to stay open until 6 o'clock, or we'll lose our license.
Bailey Brothers Building and Loan.
Get me, George.
George, it's Potter.
Hello?
George, there's a rumor around town that you've closed your doors. Is that true?
No, it isn't.
Do you need any police? Mobs get pretty ugly sometimes, you know.
Well, we're fine.
We'll see. Now, George, I'm going all out to help in this crisis. I've just guaranteed the bank sufficient funds to meet their needs. They'll close for a week and then reopen. I may lose a fortune, but I'm willing to guarantee your people, too. Just tell them to bring their shares over here, and I will pay 50 cents on the dollar.
Oh, you don't miss a trick, do you, Potter? Well, you're gonna miss this one.
If you close your doors before 6 p.m., you will never reopen.
Well, he just took over the bank, Billy. Hey, open the doors. Let them in. Now, just remember that this thing isn't as black as it appears. I have some news for you folks. I've just talked to old man Potter, and he's guaranteed cash payments at the bank.
How about our money, George? Where's our money?
Oh, now, please, wait a minute. Listen to me. You're thinking this place all wrong. The money's not here. Well, now, wait a minute. Well, let me tell you. Your money's in people's houses, in the Kennedy house, and in the McLaren house, and in your house, and 100 others. Now, what are you going to do? Foreclose on them?
I got $242 in here, and $242 isn't going to break anybody.
Oh, all right, Charlie. All right, now, you'll get your money in 60 days.
60 days?
Well, now, that's what you agreed to when you bought your shares.
I got my money. Old man Potter's taking over the bank. He'll pay you 50 cents on every dollar.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Oh, wait a minute. Please, folks, please, don't leave. I beg of you not to do this. If Potter gets a hold of your shares, he'll be owning this building and loan. He's got the bank, he's got the bus line, he's got the department stores, and now he's after us. Because he wants to keep you living in his shacks and paying the kind of rent he decides to charge. Now we can get through this all right, but we've got to stick together. We've got to have faith in each other.
My husband's out of work. We need money.
I got doctor bills to pay.
Can't feed my kids on faith.
How much do you need? We've still got some money. We've got $2,000 from the wedding.
Hey, Mary, oh, I got $2,000 here. Well, this'll tide us over until the bank's reopened. All right, Charlie, how much do you need?
$242.
Charlie, just enough to tide you over until the bank reopens.
I'll take $242.
Okay, Uncle Billy, give Charlie $242. Okay, all right, Ed, now, how much just to get by?
Well, $20, I suppose.
Oh, now we're talking. Now, Mrs. Thompson, how about you?
But, George, it's your own money.
Oh, never mind that. How much do you want, Mrs. Thompson?
Could I have $17.50?
Oh, bless your heart. Of course you can have it. Uncle Billy, give her $17.50. Pay it back when you can now. Pay it back when you can. All right, who's next?
Look at the clock. Look.
5 seconds, 4 seconds, 3, 2, 1, 6 o'clock. We made it.
Woohoo! Woo.
Well, now lock that door, Uncle Billy. Boy, we're still in business and we've even got $2 left.
Bailey Brothers building a... Just a minute. George, there's a call for you.
Look, will you get my wife on the phone? She's probably over at her mother's.
Mrs. Bailey is on the phone.
Well, I don't want Mrs. Bailey. I want my wife. Oh, Mrs. Bailey. Well, that is my wife. Mary? Hello. Listen, dear, I'm sorry. What? Come home? What home? 320 Sycamore? Well, what? Well, whose home is that? The Waldorf Hotel, huh?
That doesn't look like the Waldorf.
Oh, no. Number 320 Sycamore was the old Granville house, the one that George and Mary threw rocks at and made wishes. Mary had prepared the house, including turkey dinner, romantic decorations, and even a marriage bed.
Welcome home, Mr. Bailey.
Whoa, B.
Remember the night we broke the windows in this old house? This is what I wished for.
Oh, darling, you're wonderful.
Yes, sir, that's where they spent their honeymoon. That's where they started their lives together. Mary made the leaky old house a home, while George toiled away at the building and loan office, providing houses for people like Giuseppe Martini.
Hey, Martini, you're renting a new house?
Rent? Ha! You hear that, Mr. Bailey? I own my own house. Me, a Giuseppe and Martini. I own my house. No more we live like a pigs in a potter's a field.
We have something for you and your family, Mr. Martini. George and I bring something for all the new owners.
Hey, for the Martinis? Hey, Maria, come quick. I first a house of warming the gifts, and I bring the kids.
Bread, so that this house may never know hunger. Salt, that life may always have flavor.
And wine, that joy and prosperity may reign forever. Now enter the Martini Castle.
Bailey houses were popping up all over the place, mostly owned by people that used to live in Potter's Field. And Potter had just about enough of that. So after a couple of years, old man Potter decided to call our George into his office.
Sit down, George. Sit down. Have a cigar.
Well, thank you, sir. Well, that was quite a cigar, Mr. Potter.
You like it? I'll send you a box.
Well, now, I suppose I'll find out sooner or later, but just what exactly did you want to see me about?
George, now that's just what I like so much about you. George, I'm an old man, and most people hate me. But I don't like them either, so that makes us all even. You know just as well as I do that I run practically everything in this town but the Bailey Building and Loan. You know also that for a number of years I've been trying to get control of it, or kill it. But I haven't been able to do it. You've been stopping me. In fact, you've beaten me, George, and that takes some doing. Take during the Depression, for instance. You and I were the only ones that kept our heads. You saved the building and loan, and I saved all the rest.
Oh, yes. Well, most people say you stole all the rest.
The envious ones say that, George. The suckers. Now, let's look at your side. Young man, 27, 28, married, making, say, 40 a week.
Oh, 45.
All right, 45.
45.
Now, if you were some ordinary yokel, I'd say you were doing fine. But George Bailey is intelligent, ambitious. He hates the building and loan, almost as much as I do. He's been dying to get out of town ever since he was born. A young man, the smartest one of the crowd, mind you, who has to sit by and watch his friends go places because he's trapped. Trapped into frittering his life away, playing nursemaid to a lot of garlic eaters. Do I paint a correct picture, George, or do I exaggerate?
Well, what's your point, Mr. Potter?
My point is, you're the only man in town who's licked me. I want to hire you. Manage my affairs. I'll start you out at $20,000 a year.
$20,000 a year?
You wouldn't mind living in the nicest house in town, buying your wife a lot of fine clothes, and couple of business trips to New York a year, maybe once in a while Europe. You wouldn't mind that, would you, George?
Oh, would I? Well, you're not talking to somebody else around here, are you? Are you sure you're talking to me? I'm George Bailey. Don't you remember me, the building and loan, remember?
Yes, George Bailey, whose ship has just come in, provided he has brains enough to climb aboard.
Well, what about the building and loan?
Oh, confound it, man. I'm offering you a 3-year contract to $20,000 a year. Is it a deal or isn't it?
Well, Mr. Potter, I know I ought to jump at the chance, but I wonder if you might give me 24 hours to think about it.
Sure. You go home and talk to your wife.
Yeah, I'd like that.
In the meantime, I'll draw up the papers, and soon you'll be managing my affairs.
Your affair? No. Well, the answer is no. Doggone it. You sit around here and you spin your little webs and you think the whole world revolves around you and your money. Well, it doesn't, Mr. Potter. In the whole vast configuration of things, well, I'd say you are nothing but a scurvy little spider.
What did Mr. Potter want, George?
Oh, nothing. Just talk. Let's just talk. Nothing. Oh, gee. Well, Mary Hatch, why in the world would you ever marry a guy like me anyway?
To keep from being an old maid.
Oh, I was going to see the world. I was going to build things. I was going to give you the moon. What have I given you? What have I given you? Not even a new dress. Not for months. You could have married Sam Wainwright. Well, anybody else in town.
I didn't want to marry anybody else in town. I want my baby to look like you.
Well, you didn't even have a honeymoon. Well, I promised you that... Your what?
My baby.
Oh, you mean... Mary, you're on the nest?
George Bailey Lasso Stork.
Well, Mary had her baby. A boy.
Oh, you don't say.
Well, then she had a girl.
Well, what do you know?
And night after night, George would come home late from the office. Things weren't good at the building and loan. Potter was really bearing down hard. Then came the war. Mary had another baby by then, but still had time to run the USO. Gower and Uncle Billy sold war bonds. Violet entertained the troops. Bert the cop was wounded in North Africa. He got the Silver Star. Ernie the taxi driver parachuted into France. And Harry? Well, Harry Bailey topped them all. A Navy flyer. He shot down 15 planes, and two of them, as they were about to crash into a transport full of soldiers.
Yes, but George, what about George?
Well, George, 4F on account of his ear. George fought the Battle of Bedford Falls. Air raid warden, paper drives, scrap drives, rubber drives. On VE Day, he wept and prayed. On VJ Day, he wept and prayed again.
We're getting pretty close to today, aren't we, sir?
Yes, Clarence. You now know almost everything that you have to know about George Bailey, except what happened to him that finds him down there at the moment wanting to die.
Well, sir? Well?
Well, today's the day before Christmas, and Billy is at the bank to make a deposit when he ran into Old Man Potter.
Well, well, well. Mr. Henry F. Potter, come to the bank to deposit some more loot, huh?
Sure, you old fool.
How do you like the news in the paper, Mr. Potter? Harry Bailey wins Congressional Medal of Honor. Just can't keep those Bailey boys down, now can you?
Let me see that newspaper.
Here you go. Sorry I can't chat with you, old thief. Gotta make a deposit.
Good morning, Mr. Bailey.
Good morning, Horace. Here you are. Deposit slip, bank book, and a very Merry Christmas to you.
Ah, you too, Mr. Bailey. Say, you've forgotten something, haven't you?
What's that?
What, do you want to make a deposit?
Well, certainly.
Well, sir, it's customary to bring the money with you.
It's gone. Where'd I put it? Where'd I put that money?
A terrible thing, Clarence. Terrible. Uncle Billy couldn't find the money because the envelope with the $8,000 in it was folded up in that newspaper that he gave to Old Man Potter. At the same time, as Billy started looking for the deposit, Violet came to visit George at the building and loan.
Oh, hello, Vi.
Suppose you're getting things set back at the house for the party tonight.
Oh, you know you're invited. Well, what's wrong?
You see right through me, don't you?
Well, how much do you need?
I hate doing this to you, George, but I won't be asking for any more after this.
Well, are you planning on robbing a bank, Vi?
I'm going to Manhattan.
Well, what's in Manhattan?
Why, everything's in Manhattan. A new start, at least.
Well, that's a big step, Vi. What's the matter with starting a new life right here in Bedford Falls?
Well, I'll be. Never thought I'd hear that coming from you, George Bailey. I thought you hated this place.
Oh, I did. But this town has a charm of its own.
You should give tours, maybe.
Well, I'm just thinking of you, Violet. Manhattan's a big place to take on your own.
I've made a decision. There's a midnight train tonight, and I plan to be on it.
Well, it takes a lot of character to leave your home and town and start all over again. Well, here's some dough.
No, George, don't.
What do you want to do? Hawk your furs and that hat? Want to walk to New York? You know, they charge for meals and rent there, just the same as they do in Bedford Falls.
Yeah, sure.
Well, it's a loan. That's my business, building and loan. Besides, you'll get a job. Good luck to you.
I'm glad I know you, George Bailey.
Well, say hello to New York for me.
Merry Christmas, George.
George! George!
Uncle, what's going on? The bank examiner's coming today, and I just thought
today?
Well, yeah. Wants accounts payable. What's the matter with you?
The money! The $8,000!
Uncle Billy? What happened to it?
I don't know. I was going to deposit it when I went to the bank. I didn't have it.
Well, $8,000... Dollars, Uncle Bill. The bank examiner's in town, and it's not our money. It belongs to the depositors.
I'm so sorry, George. I just don't know what happened.
Well, the first place you look is in your coat pocket. I told you to put it in there when you left.
Oh, I'm no good to you, George. I'm no good.
Oh, let's go, then. We'll have to retrace your steps. We'll leave no stone unturned.
And as George and Billy went looking for the deposit, Potter had a meeting with the state bank examiner, Miss Sadie Vance.
The whole town's turned upside down. With this Bailey boy's homecoming, the Congressional Medal and all.
I guess they do things like that.
May I look at your newspaper?
Go ahead.
This is the deposit from Bailey.
That old fool, Billy Bailey, gave me that newspaper.
Well, you're going to deposit it for him, right, Potter?
To think he would make such a foolish mistake. Look at how much it is.
There's $8,000 here.
What a Christmas present, and he doesn't even know it.
Just a minute here, Potter. I know you've been giving the Baileys a hard time, far back as I can remember. Why?
I don't have to give you answers. You're just a state examiner.
Yes, I am. But I am unimpressed by your buying off everyone in town. Oh, that's it. You could never buy the Baileys.
What?
You heard what I said. The Baileys have always stood for something you've always wanted and been so jealous of. They're honest.
You're fired.
You can't fire me. I'm state appointed. And what's more, I am not going to turn my back. This is stealing from the Baileys. Something like this would certainly cause them to fold.
Yes, and after 25 years. Finders keepers, you know that. He gave me the money. It was his own fault. Besides, there's not a court in the county that would find me guilty.
And we all know why.
How's your family, Sadie?
My family?
I know how little state positions pay. What would you say to a little Christmas bonus?
I'll have no part in this.
That's not what I've heard.
What are you insinuating, Father?
I will not be turned down.
What do you want me to do?
I want you to pay the Baileys a surprise visit. You'll see the records. They'll be short. You know the rest. At last, the Baileys will be where they belong, down for good.
I know just what to do.
And did you put the envelope in your pocket?
Yeah, maybe.
Uncle Billy, we've got to find that money.
I'm no good to you, George.
Do you have any secret hiding places here in the house?
I've looked over the whole house, even the rooms that have been locked ever since I lost your Aunt Laura.
Oh, listen to me. Just think.
I can't think anymore, George. It hurts.
Oh, where's that money? You stupid, silly old fool. Do you realize what this means? It means bankruptcy and scandal and prison. Oh, one of us is going to jail. Well, it's not going to be me.
Hello, darling.
Hello, Daddy.
Daddy, did you bring the wreath?
Oh, what wreath?
The Merry Christmas wreath for the window.
Oh, I left it at the office.
Is it snowing?
Yeah, it just started.
Where's your coat and hat?
I left them at the office.
What's the matter?
Oh, nothing's the matter. Everything's all right.
Isn't it wonderful about Harry? We're famous, George. I'll bet I had 50 calls today about the parade, the banquet. Your mother's so excited.
Well, must she keep playing that?
I have to practice for the party tonight, Daddy.
Mommy says we can stay up until midnight and sing Christmas carols.
Can you sing, Daddy?
Better hurry and shave, George. The families will be here soon.
Oh, the families? I don't want the families over here.
Excuse me. Excuse me.
Have a hectic day.
Oh, yeah. Another big red letter day for the Baileys.
Daddy, the Browns next door have a new car. You should see.
Oh, what's the matter with our car? Well, isn't it good enough for you?
Yes, Daddy.
Excuse me. Excuse me.
Well, excuse you for what?
I burped.
All right, darling, you're excused. Now go upstairs and see what little Zuzu wants.
Oh, what's the matter with Zuzu?
Oh, she caught a cold. Got it coming home from school. They gave her a flower for a prize, and she didn't want to crush it, so she didn't button up her coat.
What is it, a sore throat?
The doctor says it's nothing serious.
Oh, was a doctor here?
I called him right away.
Well, is she running a temperature?
Just a teensy one.
Gosh, it's this old house. I don't know why we don't all have pneumonia. This drafty old barn. Might as well be living in a refrigerator. Well, why do we have to live here in the first place and stay around this measly, crummy old town?
George, what's wrong?
Wrong? Oh, everything's wrong. You call this a happy family? Well, why do we have to have all these kids?
Daddy! Daddy, how do you spell frankincense?
I don't know. Well, ask your mother.
Where are you going?
Well, up to see Zuzu.
Hi, Daddy.
Well, what happened to you?
I want a flower.
So where do you think you're going?
Why don't you give the flower a drink?
Oh, here. Give Daddy the flower. I'll give it a drink.
Oh, look, Daddy. Some of the petals will come off. Paste it.
Yeah, all right. Now I'll paste this together here. There it is, good as new.
Give the flower a drink.
Well, now, will you do something for me?
What?
Will you try to get some sleep?
I'm not sleepy. I want to look at my flower.
I know. But you just go to sleep, and then you can dream about it, and it'll be a whole garden.
It will.
Uh-huh.
I'll get it. Hello? Yes, this is Mrs. Bailey. Oh, thank you, Mrs. Welch. The doctor says she'll be out of bed in time for a Christmas dinner.
Well, is that Zuzu's teacher?
Yes.
Well, let me speak to her. Hello, Mrs. Welch? Well, this is George Bailey. Say, what kind of a teacher are you, anyway? Well, what do you mean sending her home like that, half naked?
George!
Well, is this the sort of thing we pay taxes for? To have teachers like you, silly, stupid, careless people who send our kids home without any clothes on? Oh, that's stupid.
Hello? Mrs. Welch? I want to apologize. Hello? Hello? She hung up.
Oh, I'll hang her up.
Now, who do you think you are?
Oh, wait a minute. Hello? Well, who is this? Oh, Mr. Welch. Okay, that's fine, Mr. Welch. Give me a chance to tell you what I really think of your wife.
George!
Will you get out and let me handle this? Well, hello? Oh, you will, huh? Well, okay, Mr. Welch, anytime you think you're man enough... Well, hello? Any...
Daddy, how do you spell hallelujah?
Oh, what do you think I am, a dictionary? Janie, haven't you learned that silly tune yet? You played it over and over again. Now stop it. Stop it.
George, what are you doing?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mary. Janie, I'm sorry. Well, I didn't mean... You go on and practice. Pete, I owe you an apology, too. I'm sorry. What did you want to know?
Nothing, Daddy.
Well, what's the matter with everybody? Janie, go on. I told you to practice. Now go on, play.
Oh, Daddy!
George, why must you torture the children? Why don't you...
Well, Mary...
Where's Daddy going?
Bedford 247, please.
Is Daddy in trouble?
Yes, Pete.
Shall I pray for him?
Yes, Janie. Pray very hard.
Me too.
You too, Tommy. Hello? Uncle Billy?
So that's it, George. You're short $8,000 in the books, eh?
Oh, please, Mr. Potter. I'll pay any sort of interest if you still want the building and loan.
You say it was lost. Did you notify the police?
Oh, no, sir, I haven't done that yet. Harry's homecoming tomorrow.
Why did you come to me? What about your good friend Sam Wainwright?
Well, I can't get a hold of him. He's in Europe.
What kind of security would I have, George? What collateral?
Well, I have some life insurance, a $15,000 policy.
How much is your equity in it?
Well, $500.
And you want $8,000? Look at you. You used to be so cocky. You are going to go out and conquer the world. You once called me a warped, frustrated old man. What are you but a warped, frustrated young man crawling in here on your hands and knees for help? No securities, no stocks, no bonds. You're worth more dead than you are alive. Why don't you go to the riffraff you love so much and ask them for help?
I'll do anything, Mr. Potter. Please, please help me. My wife and kids.
You know what I'm going to do for you? As a stockholder of the building and loan, I'm calling the state examiner to get a warrant for your arrest.
Oh, Mr. Potter.
Misappropriation of funds.
Oh, please.
Manipulation, malfeasance.
You can't. Well, they can't arrest me.
Go on and run. You can't hide in a little town like this. Merry Christmas, George.
This is WBFR, Playhouse of the Air. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paonia Players performance of It's a Wonderful Life, recorded live at the Paradise Theater. We'll be back with Act 2 in just a few moments.